the main part of the convention adjourned and agreed to meet in Baltimore a few weeks later. They reconvened in Baltimore. The same fissures appeared between the Southern Democrats and the Northern Democrats, and there was another walkout on the part of Southern delegates. This time 110 left, more than a third of the whole, and you had the phenomenon of the Democratic Party split in two and nominating two slates for president and vice president. The regular Democrats nominated Douglas and a moderate from Georgia named Herschel V. Johnson to be his running mate. The Southern Democrats nominated John C. Breckinridge of Kentucky, vice president under James Buchanan, and later a Confederate general and Confederate Secretary of War for part of the Civil War. Breckinridge is the Southern Democratic candidate. The running mate is Joseph Lane of Oregon, who will be the vice presidential nominee. The Democratic Party, in short, is in a shambles as the election approaches in 1860. The Republicans met in Chicago in mid-May. They met in between the Charleston Convention and the Baltimore Convention of the Democrats, and they were upbeat. They understood very well what was going on with the Democratic Party. They knew that they would carry most of the North, and they knew that to win the Electoral College, they needed only to carry the states they had carried in 1856, plus Pennsylvania and either Illinois or Indiana. All three of those last states had gone Democratic in 1856. The Republicans sensed victory, but they were going to be careful in this election. They were facing the prospect of choosing from a number of potential candidates. Most of the party wanted to play it safe and pick someone who would appeal to the widest possible spectrum of Northern voters. In other words, don't embrace anyone considered too radical on the question of slavery. The front runner was William Henry Seward of New York, a longtime politician, powerful Whig politician, and then a Republican. But he was considered unsafe on slavery, too far in advance, too far toward the abolitionist end of the spectrum to appeal to more moderate voters in the North. Salmon P. Chase of Ohio, another man that in the end the convention considered too radical on the slavery issue to appeal to the broad spectrum of Northern voters. They were both considered, especially Seward, to be men with histories that were too long as well. Their political careers had simply gone on so long that they had managed to alienate a good number of people along the way, so they were considered iffy candidates on those grounds as well. A conservative named Edward Bates from Missouri was also put forward. He was another ex-Whig. He was supported by Horace Greeley, the powerful editor of the New York Tribune, but Bates was considered too conservative by many of the delegates to the convention. Weaknesses in all of these men's appeal strengthened the candidacy of Abraham Lincoln of Illinois. Lincoln had only held national office very briefly back in the 1840s as a one-term member of the House of Representatives, but he had a fairly high national profile because of some lectures he had given in the late 1850s and in 1860, and because of the famous senatorial contest in Illinois in 1858 with Stephen A. Douglas. Lincoln had very bright managers. He was supported only by Illinois initially, but his managers moved around from delegation to delegation and said, "We understand that you're in favor of candidate X or candidate Y as your first choice. What we hope you will do is make our man, Lincoln, your second choice. And if your candidate doesn't make it, we hope you will shift your votes to support Abraham Lincoln on subsequent ballots." Lincoln was a very good second choice. He was a moderate. He was against the extension of slavery. No slavery in the territories, said Lincoln. But he was not for immediate emancipation. Now, personally, he was anti-slavery, but his political stance was the Constitution protects slavery where it exists, and therefore we must respect that. But no slavery in the territories, said Lincoln. He was also safe on the Republican economic issues, which I'll talk about more in just a minute. And he was potentially strong in the lower North, those areas of southern Illinois and southern Ohio and southern Indiana, parts of Pennsylvania, where abolitionist sentiment, sentiment relating to the issue of slavery, was not nearly as strong as it was in New England and parts of the upper North. Lincoln seemed to be ideal in many ways. It took the Republican convention just three ballots to decide on Abraham Lincoln.